Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host, and our guest today is Stephen Goldsmith, New York City Deputy Mayor for Operations. Your career exemplifies a terrific nexus of connecting research to practice, and I truly enjoyed reading your most recent book, The Power of Social Innovation. First, would you describe for us social entrepreneurs and social innovators, and what are the characteristics of a successful social innovator?
My work for 10 years at the Corporation National Community Service, I was the chair of the AmeriCorps Vista federal, it's called a corporation, it's a quasi-government federal agency, and looked at a lot of really creative entrepreneurial leaders of nonprofits, you know, the folks who started Teach for America or City Year or Jumpstart and the like, a lot of really great stories. And you tend to, in those conversations, assume that the nonprofit leader is entrepreneurial and the government bureaucrat isn't. That's an unfair generalization. In any moment, any sector could have an entrepreneur and any sector could have a status quo operator. There's plenty of stories about both. So it seemed to me that we shouldn't talk about civic entrepreneurs in the sense that they are only nonprofit, but we ought to think about social entrepreneurs in the sense that you use your position, your leadership, your ideas to drive value. So if you're a public official, you know, in the book that you mentioned, The Power of Social Innovation, we talk about, you know, there's a juvenile court judge at the time in Indianapolis, a guy named Jim Payne, now is head of family services in Indiana, and decided that the nonprofit services to abuse kids were not doing enough good. And he was going to change the contracting standards in order to change the players in that process. So the nonprofits became more entrepreneurial because he changed the rules of engagement. There are plenty of other examples, however, where the nonprofits say, look, what you guys are doing in business isn't working. I have my own model, and my model is going to help kids graduate from high school or college. I mean, you could think in the sense that Jeff Canada, forcing folks at Harlem's Children's Zone, bureaucrats and the like, coming around a new model that apparently works, and other examples as well. So the book is based on the fact that, look, it's not – the issue isn't that we don't know what works for kids and families in tough communities. It's that we don't know how to take it to scale. We can't take it to scale because in the public social service sector, scale means government. Right, you get a venture. Even if you got venture capital, you only get it for 3 years. You prove your model. If you want to expand your model, your exit strategy is government. So the question then becomes: how can we provide enough disruptive entrepreneurship to repurpose existing dollars to follow the models that work? So the book is a story of the relationship between government and social sector about innovation and entrepreneurship.
I'd like to segue into the perception in some quarters, and you've alluded to it briefly, that government lags behind the private sector in innovation. First, do you think this is an accurate perception? And secondly, how do you think government could enhance its position and become a leader and driver of innovation?
Well, I think government does lag behind the private sector in innovation because not because of the people, but because the rules of government are hostile to innovation. The rules of government are set up to create predictability and consistency. And that's not necessarily consistent with innovation. And there is very little research and development money. There's very little cross-agency collaboration opportunities. And so, no skunk works or whatever. So it's just tough to do it. And it's easier. You know, I was involved with President Obama in the Social Innovation Fund, a small fund that a great idea by President Obama, a social innovation fund designed to say, okay, you had a good idea, here's some money. And I used to joke with the White House that I envisioned going up to Capitol Hill someday after the grants were made and saying, you know, getting interrogated. And so and them saying, well, what are the results? And I would say, we only had a 50% failure rate. It's terrific. Mm-hmm. Right? And so then you get castigated about a 50% failure rate. But if you don't have a substantial failure rate and on innovation, it's not really truly innovation, right? Because if you're going to have 100% success rate, which means you're not really betting on innovation, because the only way to do that is to bet on the status quo. So the problem with innovating in the government sector is you have to find a way to provide some immunization of the risk takers. Otherwise, it won't work.
Well, how are you leveraging partnerships with private sector organizations or nonprofits to improve mission results and operations?
Well, New York City has an extraordinary deputy mayor in Linda Gibbs, who's very creative, done homeless work, done child abuse work, knows the big picture, knows the importance of data, truly a remarkable person. And so she's using analytics and performance contracting to kind of change the way we produce services in a very tough and declining market. I'm trying to play a part in that across government by analytics and better use of information.
Crystal ball time, if you will, prognostication. What are some of the major opportunities and challenges your organization, your role will encounter in the future? And how do you envision the office or the group that you lead evolving to meet those challenges and seize opportunities?
Well, I have a small band of warriors who work with me, and they work on projects across the agencies. The challenge really is that it's very difficult if you've been in government a long time or anywhere and you're highly professional and you're in a routine to understand that that routine may no longer be working. You tend to think if it's not working, that means you need to do more of it, not different stuff. And the challenge will be to, if we can, get people to see that new tools, new approaches are necessary and want to do them, as contrasted to say, no, that's too threatening. I have to kind of hold on to the way we do things today. That will be the ultimate challenge, and that will be affected by whether citizens demand better services and support the governmental entrepreneurs. And anytime you make a change, the people who are against the change know who they are. They're very involved, and they're very antagonistic. And the people who benefit from the change are inchoate. They're diffused. They're not involved yet, right? And so we have to motivate the general public to overcome the obstacles of the special interests.
What advice would you give to someone who's considering a career in public service?
This is a great career. One should engage in it. And you don't have to engage in it for a lifetime. To some extent, if you want to, fine. But some of the best and the brightest and the folks who make the biggest difference, just, you know, like any other young adult in today's world, they don't want to have one employer for life. Mm-hmm. And the government systems assume that that's how you're going to operate. So I was talking to somebody yesterday, and she said, how do I decide? What do I do? So, you know, basically you find a really good person who wants to change the world and attach yourself to them, and that should be your public service, and then you could magnify his or her role.
Well, Steve, I want to thank you for your time today, but more importantly, I'd like to thank you for your dedicated service to the country and to the city of New York.
Thank you. It's been my pleasure and honor to serve.
This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Stephen Goldsmith, Deputy Mayor for Operations for the City of New York. Be sure to join us next week for another informative, insightful, and in-depth conversation on improving government effectiveness. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Michael Keegan, and thanks for joining us.
This has been the Business of Government Hour. Be sure to visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's conversation. Until next week, it's businessofgovernment.org.